Yes. Yes.
If you have your Bibles this afternoon, let's open those up. Job chapter 40. Praise the Lord. Right there after, or four songs, I should say. Good to have each one here this afternoon. House of the Lord. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to have a Savior, a Lord, a friend, the greatest man that ever walked on the earth, still alive today. Thank you, Lord. And He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my life. He's worthy of everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Job chapter 40. Say, I so appreciate the just even praying with Brother Dan. What a presence of the Lord that came down right here, wasn't it? Mercy. The Lord was happy with that. Thank the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'm happy about it too. Brother Andrew don't got to mow. Brother Andrew don't got to sweep around here no more. Clean up. I appreciate these brothers helping out. It means a lot. I don't think any, you know, Jesus said Himself, if you give a cup of cold water to someone, you won't lose your reward. I see that. God help us to not neglect those little things that we can do for the kingdom. You know, I even think Sister Violet doing the Sunday school and things. What treasures we have in heaven waiting for us for the sacrifices we do for the bride of Christ. Amen. You say, well, I can't do much. Well, if you quit worrying about doing much and do the little, you'd have much. You know, it takes a lot of little to get much. So, hallelujah. Little guy back there. Keep him in prayer. I don't know. He's been acting a little funny here. Ellie, you can take him out of here, please. If he's going to act like that. I don't mean to embarrass or anything, but God bless you, saints. Let's read here in Job chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contend with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. And answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Will thou also disannul my judgment? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder in a voice with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Let's stop there. I'd like to preach this afternoon, be a man and surrender. Be a man and surrender. Let's bow our heads together. As we enter into the service now, let's enter into the Spirit of God. Say, Lord, though the Word is great, I love it, Father, but I need the inspiration to receive it today. And Lord, I believe You're the only one that can help me. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to Him? God bless each one. He hears your hearts. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we've gathered together, Lord, in this building. But Father, without You here, it's just a worthless gathering of people. But Father, if You're here, all things are possible, Lord. Wherever two or three would gather, Lord, You promise to be in our midst. And we come with that faith and that boldness in the Word that, Satan, You have no power, but what Christ has already stripped You of. And we are benefactors of that power today. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would get anointed by the Holy Ghost in every person that's here, that every sickness, every doubt, every fear, every seed of the devil would be uprooted and burnt in the Holy Ghost and fire, and that the Christians might walk in the manifesting time that they live in, that they would show forth that Jesus Christ truly is risen from the dead. Grant it to each one that's here. Bless those that are traveling and away today. May they just receive from You wherever they might be, Lord, and bring them back safely if You would tarry. Lord, we turn our eyes northward. We turn it towards the coming of the Lord. We're ready for it to go with you, Lord, and to live forever with you. Help us to redeem the time in this service and grow closer to you than what we were before we got here. If there's anyone in this building under my voice or might listen to this tape later, may they receive the Holy Ghost before it's too late. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated, but you don't have to stay seated. Some people think we got Velcros in the pews. You know, you can't stand up. We're glued there. No, brother, sister, we're here to worship the Lord in the Spirit and in truth. I thank God for this message that we've been given. I thank God that I don't have to figure out what's right and wrong, but we've got an absolute in this day. You know, and you say, well, the absolute's the Bible, and that's right. It is the Word of God. This is the absolute for the Christian in this hour. But whose interpretation are you going to take? Are the Baptists right? Are the Presbyterians right? Are you right? Am I right? That's why I thank God for a revelation that we're all wrong. There's only one right. That was the one that wrote it. Amen. And that's Jesus. And He gave us a voice. I hope I got your attention today. He gave us a word. He gave us a prophet to show us what the Word of God meant.
Amen.
Amen. And the interpretation we were given was perfect. Some of us believe that. There's nothing wrong with it. And I'm glad I could put my whole soul on something in a world where you try to invest and it's shaky. It falls apart. You try to invest in your job. You try to invest in these things of the world. And you just can't get settled about it anymore.
Right.
You used to trust the bank with your money. Now sometimes I wonder if it's going to be there tomorrow.
Right.
Amen. You say, well, that can't happen. It did in the Great Depression. Oh, but we're forgetful hearers. But brother, sister, this nation will crumble. And I thank God for a prophet who told us that they're doing it on purpose. So why in the world do we think the politics are going to help anything when we had a prophet tell us they're trying to bankrupt the nation? Who's going to stop them? You ain't got the money to do it, so what's the point in trying there? Praise the Lord. Awful quiet today, but I pray that the Spirit come break us of that. Here in Job, I love the book of Job. You want to find a real man that knew how to endure and go through trials? It was Job. And we know by history, Job was the first book written in the Bible, physically speaking. Why? Because it was God breaking up all the excuses that he'd have to listen to later. Everybody's always got too much trials for God to handle. Everybody's always going through something nobody else has went through. All you got to do, brother, sister, you start feeling that way, is go read Job. Go, you know what, ain't too bad. Some of us have had sicknesses and things. Yeah, you got boils from head to toe.
Right.
Off on ash sheep, scraping them off, throwing ashes on them, trying to get it to go away. Not only that, but you ever have millions of dollars, the next day wake up with 10 bucks?
Amen.
Come on.
Right.
Did you ever have 10 kids and wake up with none? And some of us have had hard trials, but why did God send this man Job? Was to show us, shut up and put up. That's right.
Amen.
Be a man. As God came to Job here, he tells him after Job had, you know, the only fault Job had is he had so much faith in the sacrifice, he actually thought God was unjust for letting him go through this trial. That's what his problem was. He said, I'm justified. I know I've made mistakes, but I've got to sacrifice. And God, I have no sin on my record because you said this sacrifice would cover me.
That's right.
And instead of glorifying God, he began to say, I'm righteous before this God. And you know what it took? It took some little snotty-nosed preacher. You go read your Bible. Elihu sat in the corner. And he waited. Job was older than him, and all of Job's friends were older than Job.
Uh-huh.
And they were, he said, I thought the hoar head, the gray hair, would speak wisdom, but I've been proven wrong. And he came up and says, you know, you guys are coming here and using all your legalistic doctrine to prove Job wrong. Job's right.
That's right.
Job's right on the word. But Job, who do you think you are?
Uh-huh.
Who do you think you are to tell God he don't know what he's doing? Here's a guy that God told the devil he's perfect. Here's a guy that God told the devil, do what you want to. He'll still serve me.
That's right.
This man got into such a condition, he turned and looked at God and said, "You're unjust. You shouldn't have let me go through this." And that attitude still lingering around today. God took the oldest prophet, put it right here in the Bible for us to never have an excuse in any age. That's right. So God, after he gets done listening to Job and all his friends, Elihu gets up there, God's true prophet of the hour, telling him the word of God. That's right. And told him, you know, you think you're a big shot, but you're nobody, Job. Without God, you'd be nothing. And then you know what? God kind of got tired of that. He said, "I'll come down and talk myself." He says, "Who do you think you are, Job?" The Bible says, actually, it's in 38 too. The first time God starts talking to him, it says, "Gird up your loins now like a man." And if you ever wonder what that is, you know, you'd have a big overgarment in the Oriental times, and you would take it and you'd run it through your legs on both sides and tie it up so that way you could run and fight and be, and that's what it meant to gird like a man, which means get ready to do something.
Yes, amen.
Get ready to put up. That's what he was telling Job. You want to smart off? That's all right, but come on now, let's fight. Say, God do that? He met up with another prophet one time named Jacob. And he came and said, "Come on, boy, let's go." That's exactly what happened. And it wasn't just one of these, well, just give you that little trial and it's real easy and you break right out of it. All night long. Until excuse the expression, but God even had to get it a little cheap and pull under there Job's leg and pull his muscle out of his leg. He's getting beat too bad. You don't realize how humble of a God we truly do serve. But there comes a time where God's had enough. God's had enough of your complaining. He's had enough of your whining. And he's going to come and ask you a few questions.
Oh, yeah.
Gird your loins like a man. I got to talk to you, Job. You think you know what you're doing? You think you can really? Here you go. Here's the earth. Let it run. Tell me how to do it.
Sure.
How do you keep it in the air with nothing on it?
Right.
How do you keep it spinning, Job? Come on. Where were you, big boy? I think he's thought the same with a lot of people who think they know better than God. I know the Bible says that, but. Oh, I didn't know you knew better than the Almighty. I know God's prophet said that, but. Well, I didn't know you knew better than God's mouthpiece. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Well, first thing is we've lost even what it means to be a man in this day. We've lost the sense of manhood. And I'll get into womanhood too. It goes hands in hand. That's right. Because when God made a Garden of Eden, it wasn't perfect till there was a man and a woman.
That's
right. There wasn't two mans. Right. Men. There wasn't two women. And there wasn't two sissies. It was a man and a woman. The age that we live in now is, I'll just read it to you. Brother Bram says this in the token. "And women dressing and acting and doing, a man permitting them to do it, big bunch of sissies. It seems like there isn't even any man anymore. You see man wearing pink shoes and preachers on the pulpit, something like that, that's a disgrace. I like to see men again that's absolutely man. Looks like there's a power that drives them to do it. It's the devil and the pressure of the day. Why do you think we got preachers now don't even want to wear a tie no more? Oh, it might offend somebody because you're a big sissy. Be a man." Oh, that got quite fast, but that's all right. Call me illegal, it's all you want to. But I saw a prophet of God, when he preached the gospel, he had a shirt and tie on. Wore a suit. Amen. Unless you got a better example of Jesus in this day than him, I'd like to see it. But it wasn't this flannel shirt wearing jeans and everything else that they want to get up and preach in behind some glass pulpit and sit on a stool and say, "Oh, ain't Jesus good? Don't Jesus just love you?" It's nonsense. That ain't a man. That's a woman. Now anymore, it could be a woman for all I know. That's right. Then we might be surprised at the end of this. It's real quiet, but I plan on it being that way. That's all right. Because why? We've listened to Laodicea too long.
That's right.
We've let it influence us to tell us that men are supposed to be, you know, they've changed compassion into a bunch of sissies. They've changed being a little rugged on the edges. You ought to be. You shouldn't let some outside force come in your house, brother, and run it the way it wants to. You got a standard. You stand by it.
Amen.
You know, we've got to see an age where the woman's do what they want to. It don't matter what a man's got to say about it.
Amen, right?
And the problem is most men ain't worth listening to. So I half don't blame the women. Come on now. You got a deadbeat dad who's drunk and gone all the time. What else is a woman to do but to teach her children things? That's right. And it takes a real man. It takes a real man to what? To be able to be sturdy, to be a rock for his family that they can resort to. And they know if anything's still going to be standing, it'll be daddy in the home. There's going to be anybody. I don't care if the preacher backs out on the word. If there's anyone in the house that's going to stand for it, it's my dad.
Amen.
That's the way it should be in our houses.
That's right.
Not sitting there wearing a bunch of sissy clothes and can't. You say, why do you even dress up for church? Because I respect God. A man knows how to show respect. Everybody wants respect but won't show it.
That's right.
Come on now. Everybody's, oh, they need to respect me. Respect them first.
Amen.
Come on. It'll come back. It sure will. Oh, yeah, they'll make fun of you and yell at you and all this stuff. But give it enough time, they'll recognize you're a real man.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. They did it with Jesus, even to where Nicodemus said, look, I know we've been making fun of you. We've been coming after you. But there's one thing we know. Nobody could do what you're doing, but let God be with him.
Amen.
Amen.
And he was the head of the Pharisees.
That's right.
He was the head of the Baptist organization, or whatever you want to call it. Had to recognize they did the same in this day. Brother Branham, look, we like you. He's a real man, but we just can't go with your doctrine. He said, sorry, too bad. Why? He was a man.
Amen.
Knew where he stood. Listen to this now. Shalom, 1964. No man then, see the young man out here, big, fine built fellow with his hair. What, he curl it up like a woman. Put leotards and big long sweaters hanging down and purple shoes on. Masculine, oh, what a horrible thing to call a man. What a thing to call a man. That's right. See some woman supposed to be dainty-ish and lovely come out with a paired man's trousers on and cigarettes in her mouth and bobbed hair. What a thing to call a woman. Jesus called Mary woman. Shouldn't even be called that, just a female. It's going to be real quiet. Now look, let's keep it real balanced here. Jesus, you know, he was a man to the point where Pharisees didn't talk him out of his doctrine. To where the popular didn't make him go a certain way. But at the same time, he was such a man that he saw a woman that had lost her baby, a little son, or probably a middle-aged son, had compassion enough to care.
Amen.
See, we're not talking man that become brute beast. That's the two extremes we got. You know, you get into the sports world where they say, man, that guy's a beast. Look how strong and muscular he is. Look at the ferocity of that. You know, like a boxer, just get in there and just let you have it. That's a man. No, it ain't. I mean, that's an animal. Brother Branham says it this way, expectations. He said, now I just loved this 1950. I just love to carry my Bible. When I was a little boy, maybe Sunday, I want to tell my life story. He said, they said, you look like a preacher. And on my face, and he said, I didn't want to look like no preacher Bible under my arm. I thought that was a sissy. He said, but I find out, friends, it takes a real man. I wanted to be a man that was 6 foot tall, weighed 190 pounds. You actually go read the history, Brother Branham. He's one of the greatest boxers of his time. He was. When he says, I won this and that, he did. And you know what? He didn't wear pillows on his hands. They punched with their fist. He said, you didn't win by some point system and knockout rule. You won until the guy was on the ground unconscious. That's when you won a fight. Hallelujah. He said, his trainer about killed me one day. And he said, well, you know, what are you doing? I forget his name now, but he said, you about kill me in there. He said, you'll appreciate me when you get in a real fight. 6 seconds, Smith. That's right. That's about all long you're going to last in there. Hallelujah. But that ain't exactly what we're talking about. That's what Brother Branham thought a man was, but he found out later it wasn't.
Right.
He says, but look, you can't judge men by the size of his stature. I've seen men that weighed 200 pounds, didn't have an ounce of man. Man is judged by character. And then be a man after the heart, a man after God's heart, and God will bless you. Let me read you another one here. Hear ye him, 1957. God's searching for real men. I don't mean how big muscles are. Man is never judged by his muscles. That's brute. Man is judged by character. I've seen men that weighed 200 pounds and solid muscle, didn't have an ounce of man in him. Will throw a baby out of a mother's arms in rapture. That's a brute. But a man is measured by his character. There never was a man like Jesus Christ. And the Bible said there was no beauty we should desire him. But a character like it has never been molded. That's right. And here, he says, hear ye him. So we're looking to be a real man of God. We've had a prophet come tell us, here's the statue of a perfect man.
Amen.
And everybody wants to be a perfect man. But look, what did God find in this man? He found a man that stood for the Word. I'm talking yeah. Jesus now. He found a man that never compromised on the Word, but had such a heart of compassion that when his enemies were killing him, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
When he saw a man with a withered hand, he was man enough to stand up and say, which one of you wouldn't have an oxen fall in a ditch on the Sabbath day but wouldn't help an ox out of there? What about this man here?
Amen.
What about the woman that was a daughter of Abraham? He said, don't you care about them. He was man enough to stand there and do that and stick up for the little guy, but man enough to humble himself and say, stretch forth your hand.
Amen.
And it was made whole.
Amen.
Woman touched his garment and said, who touched me? And she came up and was man enough to say, go, be healed. Your faith has made thee whole.
Right.
He knew what would happen had he said that. Jesus could have been very popular. Brother Branham could have been very popular. A believer in this day that has the power of God can be very, very popular.
Sure.
But that's not a man.
That's right.
A man that'll compromise on his convictions, I don't care if only one person sees it. God did.
Amen.
A man that can't be consistent in what he says, can't get behind and say, you know what? I said that from the pulpit. That's exactly right. And I put my soul behind it. It's too bad. Wishy-washy. Say, well, you got the wrong tape, brother. It's okay. I'm sorry. Some people, I've met preachers apologize for saying stuff. Brother, sister, if the Holy Ghost tell you to say something, you ain't got no room to apologize.
Right.
That ain't a man. That's a sissy.
That's right.
Hallelujah. God called Job. And he said, look, stay like a man. Come talk to me to my face.
Uh-huh.
Don't go talking about me to everybody else. I'm here now, Job.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to say about it? See, when Job was out of God's presence, he spouted his mouth off.
Sure.
Says, I'm righteous. I've done what's right. I followed the Word. Why am I going through this trial?
Yeah.
You might have that same devil getting in your life.
Sure.
But when the presence of God comes, Job said, I've said things wrong. I've had unclean lips. And you know what? He humbled himself right away. And then what does God begin to tell him? He says, could you do this? Could you do that? And could you take anybody that's proud and humble him? Can you take the humble and exalt him? Can you do anything, Job, you claim to do? And Job didn't have to answer because we all know the answer. No. And what did he bring him to? He brought him to the point. What in the world? Do you really think because you physically did a sacrifice, you're going to be saved? He said, if you can do these great things, I will confess to you that a man can save his own life with his own hands. Be a man and surrender to God. Be a man and recognize if God's not in it, it is worthless.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is God looking for? We say, what's a real man of God? A real man of God is 100% dependent upon God.
Amen.
100% stands behind Him. Was willing to take on His reproach. Man, it's so quiet here today. What in the world? Are we that backslid? We ain't realize I ain't a man of God? If that's the case, man up.
Amen.
Be a man.
Hallelujah.
You know how to be a man? Say, the blood was for me. I can't save myself, Jesus. I need you. Even women in this day, we need real women. Look, brother, sister, what is your child walk upon you doing? All it is this anymore, ain't it? See two people sitting in chairs doing that or got a TV flipping on. When's the last time they walked in on you praying, brother, sister? When's the last time they walked in, you were reading your Bible? When's the last time you started talking to them about the Bible and things in it? Come on now. That's a real man. That's a real man who's able to have enough unction in the spirit to say, I'm not going to give over to my flesh and waste my life on this stupid phone or on this stupid TV and wonder why my kids are turning out a bunch of rebellious brats.
Uh-huh, amen.
Hallelujah. Look, it affects all of us. That includes me. It includes my children. It includes my house. Amen. But it's time to be a man and say what? Say what? First, it ain't going to be this way. We're not going to lay down and say, sure, that's fine. But how are you going to overcome? God, I need you. God, I need you. You want a real man of God? Show your children a man that doesn't do anything till he hears from God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Love you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
A lot of people think that's a sign of weakness. They think that's a sign of a man that ain't a real man. That says, I can't, you know, should I take this job? He said, I don't know yet. I got to pray. Think that's weak. Have you figured it out yet? I ain't got no figuring out about it.
Amen.
If God don't do it, I can't.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, should you fix that? I don't know. Let me pray about it. See what I'm saying? You don't quite believe that yet. Everything should be dealt with prayer. Everything we should talk to God about before we do it. That's why you get in all the trouble you do. You don't want to be a man. You either want to be a brute or a big sissy. But there's an age on us now. Hallelujah. Where God has given us the true Holy Ghost again. And it's fullness that we can be just like He was.
Amen.
Listen to this now. Expectancy, 1953. Here it is. If I'm getting this right, so is it today. A man or a woman who really tries to live a Christian life and abstain from the things of the world. The world backs off and says they're a fanatic. Every man that tries to trust God, his fellow man will call him goody-goody or a sissy or something like that. Sissy, I don't judge a man by the calluses in his hands. It's by the bags in the knees of his pants where he bows and prays or not.
Amen.
Brother, sister, that's the problem. I hope you're seeing what we do. We keep pushing a man this way or this way. He's either a big sissy or he's just a big brute. Come on.
Sure.
We got to recognize that I believe a man ought to work with his hands, but that ain't why he's a man. He's a man because he's doing what God told him to. He gets down and he prays. What did the same Spirit tell him? A man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. A man that doesn't care for his own is worse than an infidel. And some man will come by and see you just praying and everything else, call you a goody-goody. Why don't you just go out there? I don't know yet. God ain't told me to. Hallelujah. Men's not judged by stature. He's judged by character. I see men that weigh 200 pounds, didn't have an ounce of man in him. Ravish a woman with a baby in her arm. A man's judged by character, what he is inside.
Amen.
David, we know, is a man that the Bible specifically told us was after God's own heart. And there's any true man, and I hope you sisters aren't sitting there bored. This applies to you just the same. Hallelujah. Because the head of every woman's the man. And at the head of every man's Christ. And the head of Christ is God, as the Bible says. I believe that's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. So as you see your husband, he treats the Lord as how you treat him.
Oh, my.
Hallelujah. We look at the word submit, and a lot of people think the word submit means a slave drive. Come on, it means that if a wife submits to her husband, she just is just a slave to her husband. Submit means you have your own ideas. You have your own ambitions, but if that's contrary to your husband's, you take that and you yield it to his.
Right. Amen.
But I know better. No, you don't, or you do what the Bible said.
Right.
Well, you don't understand my husband. I understand this one.
Amen.
That's right. And if you want your man to line up, you line up. I guarantee he'll see it.
Sure.
Oh, my. It's just getting so thick in the room. I tell you what, it's time to just come to the Word. It's time to recognize that the Word is the absolute and that your feelings, your emotions, and all that is a bunch of trash that the devil's inspiring. But why do you know that? Because it doesn't coincide with this Word.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care if your husband is a drunk and worthless and everything else. You give him respects. You'll never convert him to Christ if you don't.
That's right.
Ain't a chance in the world.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean you teach your children, sis, if you're in that situation. I've seen it. Remember the woman that Brother Bram talks about, that her husband was always going out and getting drunk and everything else, came home in the middle of the night because they were arguing at the bar that there ain't no such thing as real Christians. Mm-hmm. Y'all know the story maybe, but I'll tell it again. They're out there arguing with this man. There ain't no such thing as Christian anymore. They're a bunch of hypocrites. And he said, I know one.
Yes, sir.
It's my wife at home. He said, no, boy, you just too drunk off your rocker. You don't. He said, no, I'll show you. Look, they weren't even too drunk yet. He said, we'll go there and we'll act as drunk as we can be. And we're going to ask my wife. She'll make us some steak and eggs. You just watch. And he went in there, slammed the door open right in the middle of the night, come stumbling in. They all jumped on the table, told her, woman, get in here. I found many virtuous daughters, but thou excels them all. That's the greatest woman in the world. Walk out there in the middle of the night, wake up. Such a respect. You say, for that filthy man? For the Word.
Yes.
Respect for the Word. Come in there screaming, hollering, woman, get in here and make us some steak and eggs. She went over there, started fixing them up. Got them all together. I'm talking right in the middle of the night. Put them right there on the table. Man looked at it, took a bite, said, oh, that ain't how I like them. Kicked it over the table. Said, let's go, boys. Get out of here. They walked out of there. What'd she do? Tore into her husband, told him how worthless he was and what a worthless father, and just let him have it.
Oh my.
That won't do nothing for the kingdom. I'll tell you that right now. Might make you feel good, sis, but it won't do nothing for the kingdom.
That's right.
And it definitely won't help your husband.
Uh-huh.
She got over there, got the broom out, said, we've all got a cross to bear. And this is mine. Lord, I wish I could remember the song right now, but there's a song that goes kind of like that. And he said, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. And swept it up and put it up there. How could those men say anything against that woman? How could that they were anything? That why? Because it wasn't just that this was a woman. This was Jesus Christ in flesh again right before him. And she led them all to Christ right there. Brother, sister, you got to quit living in this life and live for the one to come. I don't care what reproach, what sufferings you go through. If you do it for the kingdom of God, you ought to be happy. Because great is your reward in heaven. How can you do it? You can't. Be a man. Be a woman of God and surrender to Jesus.
Amen.
Give it to him. Do how? By doing what the Word says all the time.
Amen.
I don't care how low down your wife is. What does the Bible tell a man to do? Love her as yourself.
That's right.
Love her as yourself. Do what you would do for you, for her. You got to tell me a woman can look at a man that puts up with all her nonsense. I ain't saying you say it's okay. Now, you're a man in your house. You tell your woman wants to wear slacks, you let her know. That's wrongs. But you can't go around beating her and burn her clothes up and go get her skirts.
Right.
Got quiet on that one. Why? You're going to brute.
That's right.
You ain't a big sissy. Says, well, that's all right, honey. Don't let nobody say no bad about her. Just keep loving her. That ain't going to work either. Why? Because then they get comfortable being a sinner. If we, even as a church here, make sinners comfortable, we're wrong.
Amen.
But if we make sinners so scared even walking the doors, we're wrong. Hallelujah.
Right.
Why should they want to be here? Because they know we've got something they ain't got.
Right.
But they should know that they don't want to leave without it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
That's a real man of God. David, I love, you already all know that if you listen to anything I've preached here in the last 2 months. I love David. I love reading about David. I love, you just can enter so easily into his life. Why? Because it was just roller coaster after roller coaster. It was just ups and downs. But there was one thing that never changed. David always sought the Lord.
Amen.
David, even in his mistake, listen now. What did he do the second he was rebuked? He sought the Lord. When he numbered Israel, remember? Actually, if you go read it, I'm pretty sure that was Israel's fault, not David, because David didn't even suffer for it. How many knows it? He said, it says that the Lord had an occasion against Israel, and he moved David to number the people. And the consequence, even David said, why are you doing that to them? I'm the one. It's because it wasn't about David anyways. That's right. The Bible records one mistake of David. It doesn't even record that one. Why? Because there's one that David did himself. That was Uriah the Hittite's wife. But when he came and he had done that, he murdered that person. Nathan the prophet came and says, there was a man who had hundreds of sheep, and he saw a man that only had one that he cared for all the time. And this rich man wouldn't kill one of his own, but he said, go kill that man. And David got angry.
That's right.
Well, I became a brute for a little bit there. And he said, that man shall die. Nathan looked him right in the eyes and said, you're the man.
That's right.
It takes a real man to look a king that you know the Bible that was already anointed by Samuel the prophet, that was ordained king, but he left the word, and there's no respect to persons.
Amen.
Nathan looked him right in the eye and said, "You're the man." He said, you know, God was telling him, even if you had asked me, would I have kept her from you? Would it have been a lot better for Uriah to go down fighting in a real battle?
Right.
To put his life out there and God let him go down in a blaze of glory.
Sure.
Instead, they let him go up to the wall. And they all walked away
right. And
watched him throw rocks and things on him and kill him.
Uh-huh.
But David was very careful to write Uriah the Hittite as one of his mighty men. Hallelujah. God came to him through Nathan and said, would not I have given you all these things? What did David do? He says, I repent. I repent. I'm sorry that I've done this. Why? He was a man. He confessed. We say, well, if I was a man, I wouldn't ever be wrong. You ain't half a man. You ain't a man at all. A man that, look, Brother Brandon one time got caught with the IRS. I hope this ain't boring you. He got caught with, the IRS was coming after him. Excuse me. About all the taxes and things, and they kept calling and calling and calling. What happened? Then they call one time, Brother Bram says, I'm going out back, me to tell him I ain't here. And he went out back, that's right, and she did. Said, no, he's not here today, and clicked over. Came back in, his wife said, was that exactly right, Bill? He said, just about ate him up. That's right, the short of it is, he went and made things right, he talked to him, he found every man he could that was involved, and said, look, I'm sorry I did this. And the man said, Brother Branham, I thought a lot of you now, but I think you're 10 times the man you were before. Why? Because he stood on the word even when the word was condemning him. Give me a preacher that'll preach on his own sin all day long because it's right instead of one that makes excuses for it.
Amen.
That's a real man. Give me a man that'll repent 7 times a day but get back up. That's a real man. Why? Because he's not trying to overcome himself. He's surrendered himself to Jesus.
Yes, sir. Amen.
See, we think of being a man as I'm going to take this. I'm gonna get this horse by the reins. I'm going to take care of it. A real man says, get me out of this sea. Where's Jesus? Get me out of here. Where's the Lord? And you say, well, David was a mighty man. He never fought one thing without God sending him.
Amen.
I can read you a story here. Just listen now. 2 Samuel 5:17. But when the Philistines had heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? David, didn't you kill Goliath? No problem. No. The Lord killed him.
Amen.
Didn't you take care of a bear? What are you afraid of? If the Lord don't go with us, I ain't going.
That's right.
And he went and he sought the Lord. And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. He was man enough now to pick up his sword and go kill them.
Amen.
All right? See, a lot of people are man enough to get the word, but they're not man enough to act on the word.
Oh, my. Right.
They say, well, yeah, that's exactly right, brother. And then you look at their house and say, well, why aren't you doing it then?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, we ought to read and pray every day. Then why aren't you doing it? Right. Ought to get up early and pray. Then why don't you do it? It's fine to acknowledge it's right, but do it now.
Amen, amen.
That's right. If you really got faith, be a man and do it. Amen. You say you're doing something? No, you're surrendering to Jesus. Amen. That's the something we need to do. I don't care if you're man, woman, child. If you don't surrender to the Lord, it will fail.
Amen.
Why? Because unless God builds the foundations, how can anyone stand?
Right. Amen.
David came to Bel-Perazar, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me. Wait a minute, David, didn't you just kill him? He said, the Lord smote upon my enemies.
Amen.
Why? Because the word is what gave him the deliverance, not his physical action. The word that came into him that produced that physical action.
Amen.
Why? Before he swung the first time, he knew it was over. Glory to God. That's a real man.
Amen.
Listen to this. Therefore he called, verse 21, he says, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. There they found all their gods, and they sympathized and let it in. No, burn the thing. If I'm delivered of this sickness, burn everything about it. Amen. If I've been delivered from anything of the world, I don't care what it is. If it's movies, magazines, TV, burn it.
Amen.
God deliver me, but burn it, brother, sister. Don't let them images into your house. Burn it to the ground.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. That sounds awful familiar. So, of course, David just said, I don't really need to seek the Lord. I already did that one time. It's going to be the same situation. I'll just go in there and take care of them.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
That's how a lot of people think. Seek the Lord every time because you don't know all about it. Because there's only one that does. His name's Jesus. And too many times we assume, well, I watched this brother act this way, and then here's this other brother, looks like the same situation, did something different. Somebody's wrong, maybe not. Maybe you don't know what's all going on.
That's right.
It's going to leave that alone. That could go all kinds of different ways. But listen now, they came in the valley of Rephaim from the Philistines. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, God said now, thou shalt not go up. But fetch a compass behind them and come up over against them, against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shalt the Lord go out before thee to smite the horns and the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou comest to Gezer. Hallelujah. It's the same situation twice in a row. Some of us get so religious we won't take an ounce of medicine. Some of us get so religious we call a doctor for anything. Pray about it. Sometimes, yeah, we go right at them. Boom, let's just take care of this. Name of Jesus, it's over. Sometimes we've got to go around the mulberry bushes and wait till God's presence comes down right there in the doctor's office.
Sure, amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. But guess what? What's the point? The Philistines died. It's never surrendering to the devil. You surrender to God, which is the victory. Glory to God. That's real men of God. That's the rapture of the church. When men will surrender so much to Christ that he can come. Women too, brother, sister. Don't take yourself out. Anointed so much with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To where the battle's already won.
Hallelujah.
When you recognize that the battle you're facing is already over. If you'll just listen to what the Spirit tells you. Glory to God. Because as long as, brother, sister, you got a hand in it, as long as it's part of your build, that's, you know, your muscle, I don't care, even spiritual muscle. Oh my, but I'm just such a prayer warrior. I'll take care of this, Lord, get out of the way. It'll fail. It'll fail. You know, Brother Bram talks about this, but it made way more sense than I'd ever heard it. Remember how they asked him, he says, what will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world and all these things, and when there won't be one stone upon another? He told them, when you see, you know, that they come into compass, get out of here.
Right,
he was talking about when Titus came to destroy them, get out of here.
Right.
Why? That was the word of the Lord. Wait a minute. We're going to fight by retreating? Yep. Get out of here. Why? It's too late. And he said, see what happened to the religious people. They said, oh my, they're coming. Now it's time. Now it's time to all come to the temple. It's all time to get together and pray and to believe God, and he'll come and deliver us like he did in the other days.
Oh my.
But they missed the word of their hour.
Right.
They're doing the same in this day.
Right.
They're trying to find where's peace with God, so if we can get the Baptist and the Catholic and the Presbyterian and all come together and seek the Lord and fast and pray, we'll be able to do that. When there's a voice that said, get out of there now, it's going to crash and die. Hallelujah. Real men know that was God's voice. Run.
Amen.
How are you going to win? Running. Because I can't fight this battle, but I'm going to go to the one who will.
Amen.
Glory to God. You ain't retreating. You're surrendering to Christ. Why? Because he's the only one that gives you victory. Glory to God. And I could just see the bride walking in step with the Word, not having to lift a finger of their own because the Spirit does it.
Amen.
Oh, you know, I don't think you're quite hearing me. When you go to pray, is it really you yielding to the Spirit yet? Or are you being religious. When you read, is it really the Spirit doing through you? You say, what? How am I supposed to know that? You're supposed to have the Spirit.
Amen.
You claim to have the Holy Ghost and they don't do anything it's saying. You need to go back and get it.
Amen.
That's right. Say, well, that ain't very nice. I don't know if Job was getting too nice a treatment in this case too, because he didn't need to hear a nice sermon. He needed to hear the truth.
Amen.
And that's the nicest thing you could ever give anybody is the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Listen to this. What's Christ looking for in this day? Is he looking for a bunch of zealous people as we think that are just on fire and just burning the countryside? You know, and I'm not trying to discourage you in any way, but I hate to break it to you. There ain't too many more coming. It's just the facts. We're at the end time. And you know what's going to happen is you're going to go in your own strength and it's going to fail and you're going to get discouraged. Or if you listen to the Spirit, he'll lead you to that one soul that you need to talk to. Hallelujah. And you know what? You gain more than 10,000 worlds doing that. Hallelujah. He's looking for Christians that recognize that we're in a war.
Amen.
And that there's all kinds of forces coming against us. He's looking for an enduring soul. He's looking for a man that doesn't let the pressures of the world dictate their decisions, but is going to endure hardness as a good soldier.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just read you a few scriptures here. 2 Timothy 2:1 says this, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And these things that thou hast heard of me and many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Have we got that revelation yet that God chose you to not be on the lily pads? That God chose you not to be a bench warmer, but he chose you to be a soldier?
Amen.
And the greatest battle you have is honestly just getting the world out of you. Because it's so much easier just to let the world in. It's so much easier just to watch TV. It's so much easier just to do what the flesh is. It's so much easier that when you're spoken against to speak back.
Uh-huh.
It's so much easier to prove to everyone you're right.
Sure.
Especially with the word we've been given. But it's enduring hardness. It's allowing words that they're going to make fun of you. They're going to call you wrong things. Can you endure and still be like Christ?
Amen.
You don't sit there and say, well, it's okay you do that. But at the same time, you say, I'm praying for you. Are you hearing me now? Too many times they're anointed with the devil. God bless them to hell. How can you bless someone to hell? That ain't no blessing me. That sounds a lot worse. Well, they came against me. They got to be the seed of the serpent. Maybe. I guess Paul must have went to hell then when he came against Stephen. Well, I know he's inspired by the devil. Sure was Saul inspired by the devil when he came against David trying to kill him. But last I checked, wherever Samuel was, there was Saul too.
Amen.
Sure. Glory to God. Endure hardness. Look, the hardest part in the Christian walk is enduring other Christians.
Amen.
And enduring this Christian.
Amen. Amen.
And the not Christian that lives here.
Glory.
Who says, yeah, just go, you know, go do things. Well, don't pray tonight. You're too tired.
All right.
And all of a sudden you pull out that phone, stare for 2 more hours. Guess you weren't too tired. Why? Devil don't mind giving you strength for that. Woo, glory. He'll keep that flesh up all night. Why? Because he'll get you in the morning. He ain't worried about it. Devil's a lot more patient than most of us. Glory to God. We think if we're going to endure and we're going to fight, then we ought to be pressing when really we should be surrendering.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hope this speaks and you take it home that when you surrender to God, that's the victory of the cross. The preaching of the cross is we can't do it. He did. I'm so glad I can stand behind it now so you don't look at me, but you look at him. God for this. God, how many enjoys that? I think that's beautiful there. Right behind you. That's it. That's the cross. Praise Brother Justin for giving us the inspiration. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes, here we are.
Yes, Lord.
With the testimony that he still lives.
Amen.
And that same man that's a figure of right there is here right now speaking to us. What's he telling you? You're a Christian in this hour. Be a man.
Amen.
And surrender to me.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
We love you.
Glory to God. Well, I'll serve God if I can speak in tongues. Well, if you just surrender to Him, you might actually speak in tongues. Some people think you speak in tongues knowing what you're saying. Then why are you speaking in tongues? What does that mean? Just go learn a foreign language. Then you can speak in tongues. That ain't the point. You ain't supposed to know. Well, if I was really inspired, I'd know this or that. You know how many times you get inspired as a Christian? You don't have a clue what you're doing, and you're walking right in the will of God, and before you know it, that renegade son is in here getting the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What is it? It could be as simple as says, son, you know what you're doing is wrong.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, well, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Well, you're killing his soul.
Yeah.
I got real quiet. Because truth, it's truth. If it's something wrong, you ought to be a man enough to say it, but you ought to be Christ-like enough to pray about it.
Amen.
And to love that person. I don't care how bad. I've had all kinds of people say bad about me, brother, sister. I'm not trying to put up a farce. It ain't easy. It isn't. It is hardness, as the Bible says, to endure people that say that Christians say they love you and all this stuff, and you know they don't care.
Sure.
I guess I'm the only one who deals with that. But the point of it is, if you go ahead and take that home and become a big little sissy about it and boo-hoo to everyone, you ain't a man of God. And if you go around big brute and using this sword as a big club instead and beating everybody over the head about it, you ain't much man of God either.
Right, amen.
A real man of God knows how to flee back to the cross. He knows how to flee. You know, I think of Joseph one time. What a man of God. We think of a man that endured prison for years, falsely accused.
Sure.
Who still cared about his brothers when he came and he fed them. Come on.
Amen.
But at the same time, when temptation came, he didn't go fight Potiphar's wife. He ran.
Right. Right.
Why? He stayed with the Word. You might think you're running away from a problem, but brother, if you have a hard time with drinking, stay away from alcohol. You have a hard time with women, then just wear blinders and just have it like this. You can look right at the ground. Make sure you don't trip over yourself. See, I look stupid. You already look stupid anyways. At least to the world. Hallelujah. What a service. Listen to this. Well, Brother Andrew, I want to be a real man of God. I want to be just strong and mighty like Elijah and just get up there on Mount Carmel and say, come up here, you bunch of renegades. Let me show you the glory.
Uh-huh.
There's two other apostles got that inspiration. James and John, I believe it was. And they said, you know, they look at the situation and said, hey, Jesus, these guys saying bad about you. You want us to call fire from heaven and kill them all? Go read your Bible. That's what they did. What did Jesus say? You know not what spirit you're of. But it's the Word, it's the Word. No, you got the inspiration in the wrong direction. Done took that Word and twisted it for you. Why? Because the Son of Man didn't come to destroy lives. He came to save them. But I always appreciate the apostles. They said, okay, Jesus, we'll do it that way. That's a real man of God. A real man of God always humbles himself to the Word. Whether he's right, whether he's wrong, it doesn't matter. That's why the prophet said in the church age book, God's looking for a zeal. He's looking for a zeal out of the human heart. What is it? The zeal to say, I am wrong.
Amen.
And if you can't do that, you're not serving Christ.
Oh,
you're not. That's if you right. Don't repent of your sins, you're not serving him. I don't care how much good you do. You've got a black on your heart and it condemns you. Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's the truth. But thou, O man of God, how many wants to be a man of God?
Yes,
or woman of God? Amen.
Praise God.
Flee these things.
Amen.
Wait a minute, I thought I was a man with a two-edged sword. I'm running? Too many times we're fighting battles the Lord didn't send us on.
Right.
Too many times we're just charging right at the Philistines. We're supposed to go around the mulberry bushes.
Right.
Hallelujah. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Yes, Lord.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Oh, yes, Lord.
So I'm just going to tear into that brother and just let him know about his sin and just kill him. Fighting a good fight. And here's the devil over there laughing as we kill one another. It's about right. That ain't what it is. And I ain't telling you not to recognize a man's fault. But what do you do about it? How do you endure hardness? First, don't go talk to countryside about them. And even if you do talk about it, it's to try to get someone else to want to help too.
Right.
You're saying, what? What do you mean? If you see a man with a fault, they can tell if you really care about that person or you're just raking them over the coals.
Sure.
This brother, you know, if I know a brother that's going into false doctrine, I'm going to pray for him and come out of that. You tell me that's impossible. I've seen many men come out of false stuff after they've been in it 40, 50 years. God, give them revelation and bring them out. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
But does that mean if I see somebody else, I just pretend like there ain't nothing wrong?
No.
If this other person's a Christian, I can tell it to them, but say, look, let's pray together for that man. You hearing me now?
Yes, sir.
Because we get to the point where we think talking about anything is gossip. Just because you say something about it don't make it gossip. It does when you're trying to kill the person you're talking about. David was running from his life from the Philistines. Do you think he went around saying, oh yeah, Saul's doing a great job. I'm so happy Saul's trying to kill me.
Oh my,
oh my, this is great. This is glorious. Don't you just love how the victory's through Israel? He didn't say that. But at the same time, he respected that man's still the king.
Uh-huh.
Let's pray. He gets revelation.
Right.
He eventually got it.
Yes, sir.
Didn't come the way he wanted to. He had to die, but praise God, his soul was still saved. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You flee from everything. Be a man and come to Christ and just give your entire life to Him. Every decision, everywhere you go, every service, every morning, every night.
Amen.
Lord, have your way in my life. It'll put an edge on you, brother, sister. I'm just going to have to close on this. I hope you're getting in. If you're not, you're probably not going to. But it puts an edge on a Christian that doesn't let the world dictate their life. It takes a man to stand up and say, I don't care who, bishop so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, whatever. Saying, it's all right, we're just going to cancel church tonight for a Super Bowl and stuff. We're just going to, you know, we're going to hurry church along so we can go out and play volleyball. You act like this stuff don't happen, but I've seen it firsthand. You know, if we get a little excited, we're just going to, you know, just kind of just call them service done and dismiss and get out of here. We ain't got time for that. We've got to hurry and get out of here. We got things to do. Brother, the second we take a service and the Holy Ghost ain't what we're here for, we might as well just close the doors. If it's just a religious gathering of people, we might as well just quit. That's right. But it takes a man to stand up and say, we're going to do what God wants us to. I don't care if we're late for lunch.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Ghost is still moving. We're going to stay here. Why? Because I'll offend everyone in here, including myself, before I will offend Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And as long as He's behind me, that what can man do unto me? I've learned to quit trying to fight and to be a man and say, Lord, You fight my battle. You take charge, and you think, well, that's you being a sissy. That's the greatest thing a man ever did was commit to God.
Amen.
You think God made us to go fend for our own?
No.
Then why did He come in the garden every single day and talk to Him?
Right.
And why does He come to you every single day and commune with you? Because He knows you can't do it. And He built you that way. Why? He's God. And He likes to feel needed.
Amen.
You give God His feeling that He wants.
Amen.
He wants someone that cries out to Him. He wants someone. Why? He wants to come mightily on the scene for you.
Right. Amen.
But we got it taken care of, Lord. Don't worry about this one.
Right.
Don't worry. I got this one.
Amen.
I'm a real man now. You ain't nothing but a big bluff.
Sure.
You a big jellyfish. Acting like you're going to fight. Dave, just trying not to keep going. But anytime a man of God, I don't care who he was, the second he tried to overcome without seeking the Lord, he failed.
Amen.
Moses smote the rock. Praise God. It wasn't just a little trickle of water. It brought out a gusher and watered everyone in Israel.
That's right.
It came round two to do it. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, just speak to the rock. And he said, nah. And he went and hit it twice. Why? He's glorifying himself.
Sure.
And the waters came, but guess what? He kicked himself out of the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
The earthly, that is. David, the same, got the inspiration from the Lord. Bring the ark back. Didn't seek the Lord. What'd he seek? His pastor. Come on, the deacons. But he never actually got down and talked to Jesus about it. Never talked to the Lord. Never sought the Lord. The Bible says he didn't. You know what happened? Man died from it. Joshua, a flawless military man. You think, well, after a while, he said, you know what? We got this one. Here come these travelers from a long ways. We don't know who they are. They were the Gibeonites. Gibeonites showed up, said, oh, we come from a far land. Oh, won't you just help us? And Joshua said, all right, God, we got this one. And they made a league. They weren't supposed to. What do you think happened to this age? God came on the scene. He's given us the word of the Lord for this hour. And it takes a real man to say, you know what? I thought differently. I feel differently. I don't like that quote. It takes a real man to say, but it's still true.
Amen.
I've actually done a little bit of history right there around the end of Brother Branham's life. If you look at the things going on, like, you got Muhammad Ali and things like that, and you got all this racial things going on, and he's becoming a Muslim and things, and trying to get the blacks to be separate from the whites, and they're segregated. There's a lot of hostility around there. You wonder why the prophet said the blacks should stay with the blacks, the white stays with the whites. That's what he said. He said the blacks got schools just like the whites. So what's the problem with that? Look how indoctrinated we are in this age. No, Brother Branham don't know what he's talking about. Might have been a lot better America right now had we just done that. Saying, oh, no, integration. Really? Is it working?
Come on.
We got more racial killings now than we did 50 years ago. Oh, yeah. It's everywhere now. It used to just be kind of isolated. Now you got everybody killing each other. I don't care. It's black on black, black on white, white on black, white on white, white on brown. It don't matter. Everybody's killing each other.
Amen.
The prophet didn't know what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Be a man. Surrender that God sent us the truth. God sent it. You don't have to be ashamed. God will vindicate it. He is. He is. Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Do F, Dad. Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The King.
Men and women of God.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender.
Surrender
all, Jesus, I surrender
Every thought, say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me.
Jesus, be,
make me what I ought to be, Lord.
Lord of all, the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
My
hallelujah. With every head bowed, hallelujah, Jesus. Is there any soul here who would say, Lord, I haven't been the man or the woman of God I ought to be? Overdoing my own thing, thinking I got it figured out, Lord, and getting offended by the word. But Lord, I'm coming raising my hands, not religiously, but as surrender. That Lord, I surrender all that to you. I'm sorry. I've reasoned with your word. It's not quite my absolute, Lord. I interject my own thoughts, but Lord, I in the name of Jesus, I give them to you. They ain't helping me, they're destroying me. Coming back to your word, you confess now. Don't wait for somebody else to pray for you. You've got to press through the veil. You've got to recognize Christ in you. Confession's good for the soul. Just tell him all about it. Don't put on a farce. You ain't the only ones with your hands up. There's hands all over this place. Don't be ashamed of doing wrong. Be ashamed you didn't repent earlier. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's why the cross came. He came to take your shame. But you got to give it to him. You got to admit you're wrong and give him the right of way into your heart. Do not let the word offend you, but let yourself be offended by the word and just get that old man away. Forget about what used to be. Forget about your thoughts. Say, Lord, I take your thoughts. Hallelujah. Talking about the home and say, you know, but you don't understand the way it is. You don't understand my husband. You don't understand my dad, my mom, my sisters. Brother, it don't matter about none of that. I understand the word is what gives us power. If you'll come back to the word, man of God, come back to the word. Hallelujah. Let your children find you praying. Let them find you not being presumptuous, but waiting on the Lord to do things. Hallelujah. Making the word your absolute. Tell your sons, why are we leaving here? Because you're fleeing things of the world. We got to get out of here, boys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Same with you wives. Husbands, say something you don't want to do. That spirit wants to come up and say, well, tell him off. Don't do that, sis. Don't do that. If the man tells you to do something, it ain't against the word now. You obey that. You do it with all your heart, just like Jesus standing there, because that's what the Word said about it. Fathers, the same with your children. Remember what Jesus said. He said, I can see their angels before me all the time. Don't treat them like brats, but don't let them become brats either. Lead them in the way they ought to go. Hallelujah. Just keep surrendered. Keep letting the Holy Spirit. It's such a warm feeling in the room. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it's looking. That's what Christ is looking for. An open heart. One that accepts Him in. Lets Him renovate the place and take the idols off the walls. The idols of what? The idols of your mind, your doctrines, your thoughts, your opinions. Takes them all off. You say, go ahead, Lord. Take them outside and burn them. That's where they belong anyways. Don't make excuses anymore. Say, Lord, I'm remembering the testimony of Job. I'm remembering the patience of Job and all that he went through. But why? Because the end is greater than the beginning. Shortly after this, hallelujah, what does the Bible tell us? The end of the story wasn't God just raking Job over the coals. It was God showing him that without me, Job, you wouldn't have anything. You wouldn't be anything. I'm the only reason you are what you are. Now that you've come back, you know what God did for Job? He gave him twice what he had before because he endured that trial. I know you're going through trials. I know that because I go through trials. I know where we're at. This is the hardest age there's ever been. But all that shows is there's just greater rewards once it's over. Commit yourself to God. Whatever He's told you, I don't know what side of the fence you're on. You know, there's men that come in sissies in this age, don't want to lead the home, don't want to get down and pray, want somebody else to do it for them, don't want to work, don't want to take care of things. And there's also the other side where you got men that are slave drivers, beat their wives, maybe not physically, but they'll do it verbally, beat the children, tell them how dumb they are, worthless, and never do anything to help them. There's those deadbeat dads out there too. But God, find me right in the Word, right in the middle, where I've got enough conviction to stand on the Word of God, to not compromise for feelings, to not compromise because my husband don't believe, to not compromise because my son's going wayward, but to stay right here on the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love Him today? Is there anyone here with every head bowed here now? Say, Lord Jesus, I want to meet You. And it might not even be the first time, but if it is, you need to meet Him and let Him into your heart. God bless you, little sis. God bless you, brothers, sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll make Himself known. Thank You, Jesus. Is there anyone sick in body today who'd like to come for prayer? Is there anyone? Are we all feeling healthy and good? Thank You, Jesus. We got one here. Thank You, Lord. Remember His promise. He'll heal all our infirmities. And why does He do it? Because He loves you. Thank You, Jesus. Is there anyone else? Please come. Come now. Sorry, buddy. You always feel the sweetness of the Spirit start moving, especially with these little ones coming forward. Become just almost a part of my ministry around here. Thank You, Jesus. Sometimes we dismiss these little ones. Jesus didn't. That's why you think you're a big burly man. You're not a man until you can act like one of these kids towards Jesus. Not reason, not doubt. Just come like Jesus told me and believe like Jesus said. That if I ask anything in His name, He'll do it. You say, well, my problem's too big. I'm pretty sure it's part of anything. You might as well go ahead and ask Him. Thank You, Jesus. Can you get faith in your heart enough to believe that word? Oh, hallelujah. Don't be distracted, please. He's fine. That breaks the spirit. I felt that. Don't do that. Think of these ones that are up here right now. Be sincere as you know how to be. We're not here to play church. This is the real God that's here. Don't let sin stay in your heart, brother, sister. Just confess it before Him. Thank You, Jesus. I just love seeing You. Praise God. Lord, thank You for Your faithfulness. I'm going to pray for these. Just to continue to feel better and maintain.
the Holy Ghost are ready to engage, Lord. Ready for these things. Help them, we pray. Enjoy yourself, Lord. Jesus Christ. Guide him, lead him, Lord. Erase all doubt and fear and confusion. Be his portion, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah.
Believe it with all your heart. Believe it with all your heart. Thank you, Lord.
Let go and let
do it with all your heart now. His one. He does it so beautifully.
Let go.
Love his presence. Thank you, Lord.
Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God. Sing, I take him now. Yes, Lord. I take him.
Oh, I love
him. Yes, Lord. I take him now. For all that I need.
Glory to God.
Worship him a little while. You just tell him how much you appreciate him.
Oh, bless him.
How good he is to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing us and saving us. For your inspiration, Lord, for the power against sin. Thank you, Lord. Can you lift your voices to your God and give him praise? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Did you hear from God today? Amen. Say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. And may it, Lord, not just get in one ear, not the other, but Lord, may it deposit right into my soul. Lord, and keep cutting all the things of the world out of me, Lord. I've recognized, as we've said, I might be too far on the left or too far on the right, but Lord, I can't even fix myself. I surrender my soul to you. Mold me what I ought to be. If I'm too rough, Lord, smooth off my edges. If I'm too soft, Lord, toughen me up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me be the Christian I need to be. Thank you, Lord. He'll do it. He is doing it. From glory to glory, He's molding us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We've got fellowship after church. Well, I think we're going out today.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus. I want everyone to go if you can. Let me know, please.
Thank you.
It's good to be in the house of God. Hope you understand, as a man, that those things aren't easy for me to say. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm right there with you. I just sometimes I feel like I'm just too rough, just too cold and indifferent about things at times. And sometimes I just feel like I just whatever, just ready to throw in the towel. You might not feel that way, but every day it seems like the devil wants to do one of them things to you. But I'm learning, if I'll just give it to Jesus. And I ain't saying just God off there. Jesus Christ, the man that walked on earth, who's still alive now. If I'll just give it to him, he comes right in here and he breaks my kid's fever in an hour. I give him all the medicine in the world, don't do nothing. But something came and just inspired me, and I'm just going to share this as we get ready to leave. We were blowing leaves the other day, or yesterday. The wind's blowing. And I didn't even tell my wife this, but inspiration struck me one time, Brother Dan. And I'm blowing the leaves this way, and guess what happened? Blew it all right back where I just did it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, blow that way. And I'm not, you trust me, as God is my witness. All of a sudden it just went, started going that way. And I said, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I started praising Him. I said, you know, as simple as that, but Lord, you didn't have to do that.
That's right.
You know, and I went that way for a while, but here's the thing, that I can't make that inspiration come. Later on, I started blowing the other way, and it just blew the other way. Because sometimes you're told to split the Red Sea, sometimes you're supposed to go around.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I need a little patience, too. Actually, I know I do, Brother Kent. But it's just as Shirley's told me many times, don't you dare pray for patience. Just let God give it to you.
Amen, sister.
Because you asking for it, you start praying for patience. Let's just surrender and say, Lord, I just want to be like you. Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, even in my own personal life. Sometimes we think, well, I got sick because of the devil. Sometimes it might be because you just ain't looking the right way. And God's trying to get you back. You get all stressed out. Maybe it's because God's trying to show you're trying to do this on your own and you're going to kill yourself. Come back now. You know, I want to take care of the next 10 years. What did the Bible tell me? You can't hardly handle today. Quit worrying about it. Just surrender to Him. How many loves Him today? Can we give Him a hand clap of praise and just worship the Lord today? Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.